Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A quiz of ice and fire. Hello there, listeners. Thanks for joining us today, and it's time for another quiz of ice and fire. I'm Lady Guinevere, and today I'm bringing you our 14th trivia quiz. This is a bonus feature unlocked by our generous patrons, so thanks to their continued support, there is no patron charge for these quiz episodes. And in Yoke Boy's absence for this episode, I'm joined by Eliana from Girls Gone Canon Cast and Maester Monthly Podcast. Hey, Eliana, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Lady Gwyn. I'm very excited to be here today, and this is our second time this week speaking with one another so much.
Yes, this is exciting. I was very happy to guest with you guys on your latest episode of Girls Gone Canon. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for our last episode of 2018, Lady Gwyn joined us to discuss the last two A Storm of Swords chapters for Sansa. The Girls Gone Canon podcast does a POV reread. So as opposed to going in the order that the chapters are presented in each of the books, Girls Gone Canon aggregates all of the different character POVs and reads through a character storyline in that way. So we got to A Storm of Swords, Sansa 6, and Sansa 7, and we were very, very pleased to have Lady Gwyn join us to discuss Sansa's arc and the events that happened in those chapters.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun joining you guys, and I actually love what you're doing because, as you know, a lot of what we do is character analysis, so going through doing the character rereads linearly is very appealing to me. So hopefully everyone enjoys that episode, and if you haven't already done so, check out Girls Gone Canon and subscribe to them. And now, if you are keeping score, it's time to get a pen and paper handy. We have 15 questions, and today's topic is characters. This is our third foray into the vast pool of characters that populate A Song of Ice and Fire, and as before, we'll vary from major to minor characters, and all the answers can be found in the main series. So get ready to see how many you can score. And remember, we love to hear your scores across our social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, and so on. Let us know how you do. And now let's get started. We're going to go over to you, Eliana, for the first question.
For our first question, we have a character who is featured in A Game of Thrones and served an important role in the Free City of Braavos. So for half a point each, what is that person's name and what was their role in Braavos?
Okay, so a character from A Game of Thrones. We're looking for their name and the role they played in Braavos. Question two. We are looking for the name of a fabulously rich and very well-connected character who we first meet in A Dance with Dragons, and who quickly becomes a major component of Dany's marine strategy when she demands 90 days and nights of peace from him, though it will come at a price.
Yes, and so we're looking for a character who is a very big part of Daenerys' dance storyline. And offers peace. For our third question, we have a former lord of a storied seat in the north who is also the 997th commander of the Night's Watch. What was this character's name?
Okay, so 997th commander of the Night's Watch. Question four. The younger brother of Varamyr Sixskins died 3 days before his second name day, and so in the wildling tradition, he was never given a proper name, but he was given a nickname by his older sister. What is that name?
We are looking for the nickname of Varamyr Sixskins' younger brother. And now for the fifth question. This knight of the Kingsguard is described as an ugly man, all scowls and jowls, but an adequate fighter who was nonetheless unhorsed by Jorah Mormont at the Lannisport tourney in 289 AC.
Okay, so knight of the Kingsguard, all scowls and jowls, who could that be? Question six. This wise master from Yunkai finds himself in possession of a trio of new slaves in A Dance with Dragons. He's nicknamed the Yellow Whale and the Lord of Suet by Tyrion Lannister, but we want to know his actual name.
So, we want to know the name of this wise master from Yunkai, and I have learned the pronunciation of Suet today. Which leads us into our seventh question. We first see this character at the inn at the crossroads when Catelyn seizes Tyrion. Although he volunteers to help Cat bring Tyrion to justice, this character is a typical sellsword and soon finds himself in Tyrion's employ.
Okay, so a sellsword who we first meet in A Game of Thrones, and soon finds himself employed by Tyrion Lannister. Now, question eight. The young daughter of Winterfell's late master-at-arms was last seen as Theon's hostage on the walls of Winterfell and is now assumed to be a captive in the dungeons of the Dreadfort, which makes us really fear for her. And I think we talked about her, oddly enough, in that episode.
Wow. So that's quite a great hint for everyone if you've listened to the latest Girls Gone Canon episode. Who is this captive in the dungeons of the Dreadfort, a young daughter of Winterfell's late master? For question nine, this prominent member of Queen Selyse's Queen's Men hails from Stone Dance in the Crownlands and is high in King Stannis's council. In A Dance with Dragons, Stannis tells Jon Snow that he covets Winterfell and the Wildling Vale, and once served King Robert as a squire.
Okay, so a knight from Stone Dance who covets the Wildling Princess Vale and once served as a squire to King Robert. Now, question 10. We don't know the actual name of this jailer on Dragonstone, but he was given a nickname by his one-time prisoner, Davo Seaworth, which is taken from a certain type of food that he once served. Based on his attire, he might somehow be connected to House Sunglass, but we're looking for his nickname.
Yep, so that's the nickname of a jailer on Dragonstone, and tied to food, as are many things in this series. Question 11. The bastard son of Lord Hornwood is considered a potential claimant for his father's seat when Lord Hallys and his trueborn brother are all killed fighting with Robb. He was being fostered at Deepwood Mott and presumably remained there during Asha Greyjoy's occupation and after Stannis' liberation.
Okay, so the name of the bastard of the Hornwood. Do you remember it? Question 12. This is a character we meet in the first chapter of A Game of Thrones. He is described as slender, graceful, and quick, with eyes so dark they appear black, and he has a highly observant nature. Who is this character?
We're looking for a very observant character who's introduced once again in the first chapter of A Game of Thrones, described as slender, graceful, and quick. Next we have, for question 13, a trickster from the Age of Heroes who is said to have winkled the Casterlys out of Casterly Rock with nothing more than his wits. What is the name of this legendary character?
So the name of the character who winkled the Casterlys out of Casterly Rock. And as many times as we can say winkle in an episode, we will. Probably at least twice more.
Oh, sure.
I'm hoping. So
We can weave it into every question if you so desire. It's your podcast, Lady Quinn.
Well, on to question 14. We wish to winkle an answer from you regarding which member of the Kingswood Brotherhood is reputed to have branded Merrit Frey with her symbol on his buttocks.
All right. So we're looking for a character who brands Merrit Frey and is a member of the Kingswood Brotherhood. And so for question 15, we have Brienne of Tarth's father is the Lord of Evenfall on the Isle of Tarth. For half a point each, what is his given name and what is the special title granted to Lords of Evenfall?
Okay, so the father of Brienne of Tarth, we're looking for his given name and his special title. And that's it for our questions. We will be back in just a moment with the answers.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back here once again. We're going to go through the questions, and this time we'll give you all the answers. And starting with question one, over to you, Ileana.
All right. So if you'll recall, we asked you for a character in the Game of Thrones who was an important role in the Free City of Braavos. And that character was Cirio Pharrell, the first sword to the Sea Lord of Braavos. And that's half a point for the name and half a point for the role that he played.
Okay, how many of you got that one? In Game of Thrones, Cirio tells Arya Stark, 9 years Cirio Pharrell was first sword to the Sea Lord of Braavos. He knows these things. I don't recall the context of what things he knows, but Cirio Pharrell knows things, so... there you go. That's the answer there. Remember, question two had to do with a fabulously rich and well-connected character from Meereen who became a major part of Dany's arc when she demanded 90 days and nights of peace from him, and he demanded a price from her. The price turned out to be marriage, and the character was Hisdar Zolorek.
Hisdar Zolorek, and as you'll remember from A Dance with Dragons, Dany winkled. No, Dany nodded, and Hisdar strode forth, a tall man, very slender, with flawless amber skin. He bowed on the same spot where Stalwart Shield had lain in death not long before. I need this man, Dany reminded herself. Hisdar was a wealthy merchant with many friends in Meereen and more across the seas. He had visited Volantis, Lys, and Karth, had kin in Tolos and Illyria, and was even said to wield some influence in Yugis, where the Yunkai were trying to stir up enmity against Dany and her rule. And he was rich. Famously and fabulously rich. That's Hisdar Zalorak for you. So for question three, then, we asked you for a former lord of a storied seat in the north, and who was also the 997th commander of the Night's Watch. You'll likely remember this man to be J.R. Mormont.
Yep, that's right. J.R. Mormont, Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, was a gruff old man with an immense bald head and a shaggy gray beard. There you have it, former Lord of Bear Isle, father to Ser Jorah, and Lord Commander during the first three books of the series. Question four was also a question from the north, only this a little bit farther north. Had to do with the younger brother of Varamyr Sixskins, who died 3 days before his second name day, and so had never been given a real actual name. That was the wildling tradition. He was given a nickname by the older sister, and that name was Bump.
Yes. So in A Dance of Dragons, we learn about Varamyr Sixskins' background, and it's Lump, not Bump. Lump had been born a month before his proper time, and he was sick so often that no one expected him to live. His mother waited until he was almost four to give him a proper name, and by then it was too late. The whole village had taken to calling him Lump, the name his sister, Meha, had given him when he was still in their mother's belly. Meha had given Bump his name as well. But Lump's little brother had been born in his proper time, big and red and robust, sucking greedily at mother's teats. He was going to name him after father. Bump died, though. He died when he was two and I was six, 3 days before his name day. That's from that Varamyr prologue in A Dance with Dragons. Some really great nicknames in that family.
It's too bad they didn't get to keep going.
I know. Yeah. Actually, I think Bump would have been a perfectly good name. We have Butter Bumps later on.
Yeah. Bump's okay. Lump.
Or actually
and then
earlier.
The all the other possibilities with that.
Yeah. Bump, Lump, left and right.
Yeah.
But speaking of left and right, we have some other Kingsguard members here. We have a Knight of the Kingsguard in question five, who's described as an ugly man and is all scowls and jowls, but he's an adequate fighter and was nonetheless unhorsed by Jorah Mormont at the Lannisport tourney in 289 AC. And that is none other than Ser Boros Blount.
Oh, everyone's favorite Boros Blount. the jowly King's Guard. But as far as his showdown with Jorah Mormont goes, we have this quote from A Clash of Kings where Jorah is telling Dany about the Lannisport tourney. I won joust after joust. Lord Jason Malister fell before me, and Bronze Yone Roy, Sir Ryman Frey, his brother Hosteen, Lord Went, Strongbor, even Ser Boros Blount of the Kingsguard. I unhorsed them all. Go, Jorah. Bunch of
yeah, but not. Is Boros Blount truly that? I don't know. Are we that impressed?
And the phrase, I don't know. I don't know how impressive, you know, some of those people are. But he's very proud. So. He was unstoppable. Now, for question six, it's back to Meereen, or Slaver's Bay anyways. This wise master from Yunkai, in A Dance with Dragons, found himself in possession of a trio of new slaves. Oh, that was a great transition from Jorah, because Jorah was one of them. One of the others of the trio was Tyrion Lannister, who nicknamed this fellow the Yellow Whale and the Lord of Suet. We want to know his actual name. And his name is Yezan Zokagaz.
Yeah. Obviously, more known as Yezan by the first name. And in A Dance with Dragons, we learn of Yezan. Bold YOLO, bright penny, you were the property of the noble and valorous Yezan Zokagaz, scholar and warrior revered amongst the wise masters of Yunkai. Count yourselves fortunate, for Yezan is a kindly and benevolent master. That's from Tyrion in A Dance with Dragons. Debatable regarding kindly and benevolent masters, but...
Yeah, I don't know. You lucky little slaves, you.
You... Isn't that so great? You are human property now.
Yeah.
The dream.
There they are. Okay.
For question 7, then, coming back to Westeros, we have a character who's first seen at the end of the crossroads when Catelyn seizes Tyrion. And, of course, he famously volunteers to help Cat bring Tyrion to justice. And he's a typical sellsword, but, you know, a gripping turn of events finds himself in Tyrion's employ. This, of course, is Bronn, who becomes later on Ser Bronn of the Blackwater, and later on even becomes a lord.
Yes, quite the social climber, Bronn. In Game of Thrones, Tyrion introduces Bronn to his father for the first time, saying, "This is Bronn, a sellsword of no particular allegiance. He's already changed sides twice in the short time I've known him." So, story of Bronn. Question 8 now had to do with the daughter of Winterfell's late master-at-arms, who was last seen as Theon's hostage on the walls of Winterfell, and is now assumed to be a captive in the dungeons of the Dreadfort. And the answer is poor little Beth Cassel.
Oh, lost the Cassel family. They deserve so much better. We, I guess, don't necessarily get confirmation as to Beth's whereabouts within the books proper, but from A So Spake Martin in 2001, we have George saying, "Most of the women and children from Winterfell are still alive, though they are not in a good place by any means."
It's probably the source of our dread.
Fort. And Fort.
Fort.
Yes, so hopefully we get an answer as to Beth's fate one day. But until then, you're going to get an answer to question 9, which is about a prominent member of Queen Selyse's Queen's Men, who is from Stone Dance, which is in the Crownlands. This person is high in King Stannis' council, and in A Dance with Dragons, Stannis tells Jon Snow that this character covets Winterfell and the Wildling Vale and had served King Robert as a squire. That character is Justin Massey.
That's right. Justin Massey hails from Stone Dance, which can be found on Massey's Hook. In A Dance with Dragons, Stannis says to Jon, "Horp and Massey aspire to your father's seat. Massey wants the Wildling Princess, too. He once served my brother Robert as a squire and acquired his appetite for female flesh." So we expect Justin Massey to be doing important things for Stannis in the Winds of Winter, seeing as how he's so high up in the king's councils. On to question 10, which has to do tangentially with another one of Stannis's counselors. We would like to know the name of the jailer on Dragonstone who was there when Davos Seaworth was being held in the dungeons. Davos gave him a nickname based on a certain type of food that he served. And the nickname, which is the answer we wanted, is Lamprey.
Yes, Lamprey. Interesting animal that's going to come into play later again, but for now in A Storm of Swords, Davos 3, they would not even tell him their names, so he gave them names of his own. The short strong one he called Porridge, the stooped sallow one, Lamprey, for the pie. He marked the passage of days by the meals they brought, and by the changing of the torches in the sconce outside his cell. So that's in Davos's chapter, where we have his jailer, which I thought was pronounced Gowler, in Dragonstone. I'm learning a lot today on being on Radio Westeros regarding pronunciations.
Well, I don't know about Suet, but jailer is an English word, so I'll defer to my partner on that one.
I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it's one of those things people call them a reader's vocabulary. And I had a lot of that growing up and was constantly surprised. I'm like, oh, that's how you say that.
Yeah, I still get that too, because I have that exact thing. A lot of, especially obscure words, when do you hear people actually say them? You read them.
Yeah.
Like jailer spelled the English way.
Would not have figured that out if not for today.
Well, there we go. We hope everyone is learning things today.
And for question 11, we asked you for the bastard son of Lord Hornwood. And he's considered a potential claimant for his father's seat when Lord Hallys and his true-born brother are all killed when they're fighting together with Robb. This bastard was fostered at Deepwood Mott and presumably stayed there during Asha's occupation and even after Stannis' liberation. And this character is Larence Snow.
Larence Snow. We hear of him in a Bran point of view in A Clash of Kings, where it says, Sir Roderick questioned the steward of Deepwood Mott closely about Lord Hornwood's bastard, the boy Larence Snow. This lad was near 12, and the steward praised his wits and courage. And Larence Snow is one of my favorite minor characters. I think he's only mentioned once. But we mention him in our North Remembers episode. So if you want to find out what Larence Snow has to do with the North remembering and the Great Northern Conspiracy, go check that one out. Now we're up to question 12. This is a stumper.
I thought that it was really interesting, actually, how you phrased this question, and I'm curious to see.
Me too. How did you all do on question 12? This character, who we first met in the first chapter of A Game of Thrones, that's Bran 1, he's described as slender, graceful, and quick, with eyes so dark they appear black, and he's highly observant. And the answer is Jon Snow.
Gasp! And of course, that's because we don't see Jon Snow first from his own POV, we see him first from Bran's POV, where Bran describes him as Jon's eyes were a gray so dark, they seemed almost black. But there was little they did not see. He was of an age with Robb, but they did not look alike. Jon was slender where Robb was muscular, dark where Robb was fair, graceful and quick where his half-brother was strong and fast. I thought that was so tricky, the way you did this, because obviously Jon's known for so many other things. He's one of the main characters of the series.
Well, maybe a lot of people don't, you know, think of like the actual physical description that you get the first time you meet some of these characters. That's often some information that might go by the wayside, I guess, as you fill in more information. So hopefully we were able to stump a couple people with that tricky wording.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So devious.
Let us know.
Just like a trickster from the Age of Heroes, who's said to have winkled the Casterlys out of Casterly Rock, but nothing more than his wits. And the name, of course, of this legendary character is Lan the Clever.
Yep, that's right. Lan the Clever. We first hear about him in A Game of Thrones in Eddard 6, when he is reading a book about the history of the house, great houses of Westeros. It says, the Lannisters were an old family, tracing their descent back to Lan the Clever, a trickster from the Age of Heroes, who was no doubt as legendary as Bran the Builder, though far more beloved of singers and tale tellers. In the songs, Lan was the fellow who winkled the Casterlys out of Casterly Rock with no weapon but his wits and stole gold from the sun to brighten his curly hair. It continues, Ned wished he were here now to winkle the truth out of this damnable book.
Did you include that last part just to say winkled one last time?
I did. I wanted to be at like peak winkle capacity. So.
I'm glad. I respect that.
Okay, so having said winkle way more than we probably should have, we're going to move on to question 14, which has to do with a member of the Kingswood Brotherhood who was reputed, nay, confirmed in his very own point of view chapter to have branded Merritt Frey on the buttocks. And the answer is Wenda the White Fawn.
Yes. Again, this confirmation comes from Merritt Frey's infamous epilogue in A Storm of Swords. It's game-changing. No good ever came from dealing with outlaws. That vile little bitch, Wenda, had burned a fawn into the cheek of his arse while she had him captive. Tell us how you really feel, Merritt Frey.
This is a scene that I love to imagine.
Interesting. I wonder what this brand looks like. Sounds so ornate.
Oh, good times in Song of Ice and Fire.
I thought you meant good times with what? Merritt Frey being branded by outlaws. I was like, where are we going, Lady Quinn?
Well, you know, Song of Ice and Fire does change your perspective of the world and
winkles you out of it.
What's good? What's enjoyable?
So, going back to a character potentially more moral, and the father of Brienne of Tarth, who is the Lord of Evenfall on the Isle of Tarth. And so for half a point each, half a point for what is this character's given name, and another half for the special title that is granted to the Lords of Evenfall, that is Selwyn Tarth, the Even Star.
Yes, the Even Star. In Catelyn, Clash of Kings, Sir Colin of the Greenpools tells Cat, the first time we see Brienne of Tarth, that's Brienne of Tarth, daughter to Lord Selwyn, the Even Star. And that's it. And apparently it can be Brienne of Tarth or Brienne Tarth, because confusingly, their last name is also their place. So, like, this gets a lot of people hung up in the fandom, but we just got to go with it. Selwyn Tarth is the father, Brienne of Tarth is the daughter. And that's it. I got nothing more about the Tarth family. So we are through our 15 questions and our 15 answers. I wonder how you did. Did you get the softballs? Did we trip you up with our devious description of Jon Snow with the Berenice names? Let us know how you did on our social media, Twitter, Facebook. Let us know on Patreon if you're a patron. Let us know on YouTube if you're listening to this on YouTube. And thank you so much for being with me today, Eliana. Why don't you let us know where to find you?
All right. Well, thank you again for having me on here to join you instead of Yoke Boy. I was going to call him Lord Yoke Boy. It's you are Lady Quinn, but...
Well, maybe now he is. Oh, true. Maybe he is married up into the nobility.
Into the title, yes, of course. Lord Yokeboy and Lady Gwyn. Well, as you said, I'm Eliana, and you can find me on the Girls Gone Canon podcast, and of course on the Maester Monthly podcast as well, where we talk about cool things that people are saying on the Song of Ice and Fire subreddit, where you could also find me as Glass Table Girl, and I guess you can also find me saying, I don't know, nonsense things like Yes, George was describing eating. It's not really insightful at all. On Twitter, as arithmetric. I'm not going to spell it. You're all going to have a great time trying to find it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. While you're at it, try to find me on Twitter,
too. Oh, yes.
At Lady Guinevere.
So you relate.
Good luck with those things. Yeah, I relate. Yeah. We'll just send you out there into the world trying to spell things that we can't convey to you here in the audio format. But we do hope you find us. Definitely check out Girls Gone Canon. They have a great podcast where they are rereading by character arc. It's a very enjoyable way to consume the series. And they're also on Patreon as well, as Radio Westeros is. And you can find us at RadioWesteros.com and check out our Patreon at Patreon.com/RadioWesteros. Consider being a patron of the podcast, and you can help to support cool bonus features like these quizzes and keep the podcast going. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been really fun. I'm really enjoying having guests here for the quizzes. I think it's a good new tradition here at Radio Westeros. And speaking of traditions, I'll be back soon with another traditional episode of Radio Westeros. Look for that in the new year. For now, bye from all of us and Happy New Year.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.